Okay, we continue in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chaf Aleph. Again, let's review Pasuk Ches. So, David is receiving Lechem Aponim from Achimelech in the city of Nov. Pasuk Ches tells us, V'sham ish me'avdei Shaul b'yomahu. And there was a man from the servants of Shaul on that day, ne'etzor lifnei Hashem. He stayed back to stay a little longer before Hashem. Ushmo Doeg Adomi, and his name was Doeg the Adomi, Abir Haroim, the mighty ones from the shepherds, Asher L'Shol, which were of Shol. So let's talk a little bit about Doeg and what are going to be some of the causes of all his problems. It is interesting that you'll see that the word Doeg here is written without a vav, and often it is really written with a vav, doeg with a vav, but here it's missing a vav. So if you look at the gematria, it's very interesting. What is the gematria of doeg? Well, doeg without a vav is eight, but with a vav, it's 14. Which is the same gematria as David, which is 14. So there's obviously some parallels over here. There's got to be parallels over here, because if they have the same gematria, although it depends if you take out the vav, and we'll see how we can deal with that in a minute. But that is quite an interesting concept. The Yalkut Shimoni discusses why is he called Doeg Ha'adomi. Edom, we know, is a country that is a descendant of Esav. So, let's see what, let's look at the simple commentaries of the Yalkut Shimoni. Yalkut Shimoni asks, Lama Nikra Shmo Edomi, why is he called Edomi? So one rabbi says, Al Shem Iro, that was the city he came from. He came from there. Another rabbi says, Shekina b'David hanikra admoni. Because he was jealous of David. And David was called admoni. David was called red. He was fiery red complexion. So he was jealous of the one who was called the admoni. Okay, so you already see, again, similarities between him and David. Another rabbi says, Shehiter dam Nov irakohanim. He made the blood of the city of Nov be permissible to kill. In other words, he was the one, as we'll see later on, he's the one who allowed circumstances to be such that enabled the blood of Nov to to flow freely. And blood is red, adom, so he let that happen. Another rabbi said, Shehiter domer shel David. He allowed the blood of David to flow freely. V'she ishto muteres lacher. And he would allow his wife to be married to somebody else. We know later on that even though David was married to Michal, Shaul allowed Michal, he not allowed, almost forced, Michal to get married to someone else. Palti ben Laish, which we'll talk about in the future. And who do you think he went to for the psak halacha to allow that to happen? Doeg who gave such a psak halacha. So who allowed that? Came from Doeg. So therefore, it's going to cause all kinds of problems halachically for David if his wife went to somebody else. But we'll talk about that at another time. Another rabbi says, Sha'osar domo shall Agag l'shol. He did not allow Shol to kill Agag. Right? And it gave him a proof. As it says in the Torah, you're not allowed to slaughter an animal and its children on the same day. And I guess with all the other things that was running through Shol's mind when we discussed why he made the mistake and did not kill Agag when he was told to wipe out the entire nation of Amalek, it seems that Doeg was there to advise him to not kill Doeg either. he and the logic that Doeg gave him was that since a king is really considered the father of a nation, and since you killed out the entire nation in one day, it's like you killed all his children, and therefore, just like we have by animals, and you could see there's a great connection between non-Jews and animals. The Navi itself makes the connection of non-Jew and animals. They're calling, especially the men, Zirmas Susim Zirmasam. The immorality of the horse, of the rushing of the horses, is the immorality of the non-Jews. In other words, non-Jews focus on their bodies, and if you go to any sporting event, you'll see what kind of behemoths they are. If you were in Vancouver a week and a half ago, you saw what kind of behemoths they were. And you'll see this week in Toronto, a million behemoths celebrating their yontif, their month. Okay, they're behemoths, they're animals. They're no different than animals. The ones who don't keep the seven Noahide laws clearly are like behemoths. So therefore, you killed all the behemoth's children in one day. How can you kill the father of the behemoths on that day? So therefore, I guess what he was trying to say, yeah, you'll kill him tomorrow. But just like we say, you don't. What's the reason why there is such a mitzvah not to kill an animal, a mother, a cow, and the child, or the father cow and the child? Is we have, even though the animals don't need it, we have to show a certain degree of compassion. You don't wipe everything out in one day. So we have to have compassion on God's world. So you'll kill the guy tomorrow. But that was not the right advice. So again, this caused all kinds of problems for Shaul, which ultimately caused Shaul's death. Another rabbi's opinion, Rabbi Yitzchak says, Shohadim madim pnei hakol bahalocha. He would cause everybody else's face to turn red in terms of halacha. In other words, he was so smart, he would embarrass other people in terms of halachic ruling. He would show them up in halacha. And then finally, another rabbi says, Ma Edom mevaleya schuyos of shel Yisrael, just like Edom wants to swallow up the merits of the Jewish people, the nation of Edom wants to swallow up the merits of Jewish people. Kach Doeg mevaleya schuyos shel David. Doeg wanted to swallow up the merits of David. We'll understand that more in a minute when we look at the piece from Rav Tzadok. And finally, the last opinion says, Ma Edom nokem benoter visone. Just like Edom, their mida is to take revenge and to bear a grudge and to be hateful. Af Doeg kach le David. So Doeg was to David. Had it out against David. One second. And therefore, the Musar Nevi'im adds to that last point. So, and that's why he's called an Edomi. Why? To inform us that that which happened in Nov, which we'll see later, that he tells on the city of Nov and it gets destroyed. So you're going to think maybe it's because he loved Shaul so much. And since he loved Shaul so much, he would do what he could to protect the king. And sometimes when you love someone so much, you may do something wrong, but it comes from love. Sometimes you love someone so much, you'll do things that are wrong, but you did it out of love at least. But no, this was all because why? He hated David. And it was anger that brought him to do all this. And therefore, there's not one shred of defense we can give for Doeg over here. You might, if we'd have something to say that he was loyal to Shaul and he loved Shaul and he felt it was terrible. Okay, that's not it. He hated David, and therefore he was. So you see from a lot of these midrashim, we will see he was an incredibly smart person. He learned a lot of Torah. To be the Av Beis Din, to be the head of the Jewish Supreme Court, you have to be a big tzaddik. You have to be a big scholar. But yet, he had some flaws. So let's now take a look at Reb Tzadok, who gives us a little deeper analysis into this personality of Doeg, which we have to, we have to learn a little bit about because he's a prominent character in this story. And again, you have to see who, unfortunately, Shaul was surrounded by. Again, you have to look at all of Shaul's mistakes has to be put in the correct light, which notwithstanding, everything we've said already about Shaul, and he's made some terrible mistakes, but it doesn't help when you have the Av Beis Din, who isn't a righteous person either, giving you guidance. Okay, so it was like, On the other hand, you know, Shmuel was still the Navi, and at the end of the day, the Navi, you have to listen to what the Navi says. We have the Av Beis Din, who is not, you know, helpful, to put it mildly.
Son too.
What?
Yonatan was there too.
Yeah, but still, you know, you're talking about heavyweights, and Doeg was a heavyweight, and you know, it's like imagine like a Korach, you know. It was a big personality, so he was a big man. So we've got to see, though, you know, we've seen some of the Chazal. Now we have to see a little bit more.
Since Doeg was obviously Jewish, how yes. Come he's not referred to, like everybody else is referred to, you know, the tribe, like men?
Because, well, we just gave you 8 reasons why. In other words, if the Navi is calling him an Adomi, it's because he's acting like an Adomi. He was Jewish,
not really,
but he's acting like an Edomite. Well, if he was an Edomite, how could he be amongst Israel? And we know, what do you know about Edomites? Do we accept them into the congregation of Israel? We do not accept them into the congregation of Israel. According to most commentaries, it's just a very defining way. It's the Navi's description of him. One opinion said he lived in Edom. Okay, I don't know exactly. I'd have to do a little bit more research on him. And that. Just want to see, what?
When we even say with Korach,
Korach was purebred Levi.
Even Dasan and Avraham, we still say we used to go back to Yaakov, but we say the tribe.
Yeah. Okay. Listen, we don't always say everybody's tribal lineage, but here. Doeg is really a bad dude. I mean, he's really, he reflects so much non-Jewish personality.
You want to say he's like Esau?
Well, that's what we're going to see in a minute. Again, but I don't believe anybody says he really, well, the Mitzvah Tzion says, everybody says he was Jewish, but a lot of them say he lived in Edom. The Mitzvah Tzion says specifically, Shayagor Adam, he lived in Adam, Avohoi Yisrael Mileda, he was a Jew from birth. Same thing the Radak. Radak says, Gor Beretz Adam, he lived in Adam, therefore they called him an Adomi. Same thing with Uriah Hachiti, we'll see later on. Uriah lived in Chest. And other people, they're related to the place where they lived. So I don't know why, so it could be he was raised in that area, I don't know why. He was raised in that area. His parents somehow ended up in Edom for some reason. I don't know. But obviously, if he grew up in that area, so maybe some of that influence rubbed off on him. If you live with Edomites, you could start behaving like it. If you see that's how they behave.
Do we understand why he hated David? Like Shaul, we can understand his jealousy and his fear.
Jealous.
Well, let's see. We're going to be with him for a long time, so let's just get the basic background on him, and then we'll let the story develop it as we go. We'll have another discussion about him, God willing. But let's see what Reb Tzadik has to say over here. I'll just read to you some of what he says. His words are in Divrei Sofrim on page Yud Ches Amud Beis. It talks about Esav, and he says, what does it mean when it says Esav had tzayit bepiv? There was deer meat in his mouth. And obviously Rashi already tells us that he was a cunning hunter. Esav was a hunter, and he not only trapped animals, he trapped people. So he says, ki Esav hu hamakatreg hagodol bashamay mimal neged Yaakov v'sara ki yadua. We know that Esav is the great prosecutor of the Jews in the heavens above against Yaakov and his children, which is well known. He's a great prosecutor against Yaakov. The sorrow that his ministering angel, we know everybody has an angel, you know, that's their spiritual fountainhead. So, Shuhu Kocho, the sorrow Shu Kocho who Rosh HaMakachim. He's like the chief, and he is the head of the prosecutors. So he says, we know that the mouth was created really for one reason. The mouth created for one reason. To learn Torah. As it says in the Pasuk in Sanhedrin explains, the Pasuk says, call Amal Adam Lepihu, all the efforts of a man on this earth should be through his mouth? It means l'amol peh. A person should work hard with his mouth. One of the discusses from Eov, it says, Adam l'amol yulud, a man is created to work hard. Then the Gemara says, I might think he should be working physically hard or spiritually hard. So he says, no, he should be working spiritually hard. And then it gets more refined, says the spiritual hard work should be through one's mouth. And he says, you should work hard in learning Torah. That's what you should, that should be your hard work, the best way for a person should be. On the other, and really there's many Gemaras that talk about this, you know, that really every part of your body, you know, it talks, for example, you know, the fingers. Every finger has a different name in Hebrew, right? So just, so one finger, for example, the pinky is called kometz. The fourth finger is called the kometz. The kometz, why? Why is it called the kometz? Because we make a kemitza. When you have a mincha, flower offering, and the kohen takes a fistful of the flower, and then he has to, you know, take with his pinky, that doesn't go beyond that. So that finger is related to the mitzvah of kometz. And there's one finger that sprinkles the blood. So every finger has a different job in the Beis HaMikdash. That's why every finger has a special name. It's a special name. That's how you know the names. So one of the Mefarshim asked, so just say, what do you mean? Every hand, your hand is there to do work, to do what you have to do, to build a base, to do things. So the Mefarshim explained that if your fingers weren't there to do the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, you wouldn't need to have any fingers. And a different body part could build. In other words, no matter what you use your fingers for, you should know the real reason you have fingers is to do work in the Beis HaMikdash. Finished. And therefore, what we're really saying is, the reason you have every single body part is only to do specific avodas Hashem. Now, of course, not everyone's going to be a Kohen, but since there would be Kohanim who would need their fingers in the Beis HaMikdash, so all human beings need fingers. Otherwise, who needs fingers? Why do you need a finger for? Just make it easier for you to scratch your head. You know, easier for you to carry 10 sobi bags. Right? Is that why God created it? No, because you need the fingers to do the Avodas Hashem. And really, every single body part is focused on doing Avodas Hashem. So your mouth, the only reason you have a mouth, is to say words. Why do human beings need to have mouths? We need a mouth for. Especially today. Everyone can text. Hashem couldn't have text messaging 5,000 years ago.
You need your finger.
Right? Okay, but you understand. You understand what I'm saying. You know, people could communicate with mental telepathy. Right? Yeah. What do you need a mouth for? You need a mouth to what? To learn Torah. That's what your mouth is there for. Your mouth to say words of chesed. That's what your mouth is. It's the only reason you have a mouth. If you use the mouth for something else, then you're really a bad person. And therefore, we know, for example, Rabbi Tzadok continues, umaves v'chaim biyad lashon, and life and death is in the hands of the tongue. Demish lo zachu meshamesh bo b'loshon hara. What if a person doesn't merit and uses his tongue for lashon hara? Nasis lo sam hamaves. It becomes a poison. Because we already said, the horegesh loshon, because lashon hara kills three people. It kills the one you speak about it, it kills the one who hears it, and kills the one who says it. And therefore we know, the Gemara tells us, kishkula neged gimel averes achamuras. The one who speaks lashon hara, it's equal to the three cardinal sins of murder, idol worship, and immorality. So therefore, is as great as the art of speech for learning Torah, so great is the equal and opposite for every spiritually powerful thing that exists. There's an equal and opposite negative. So you can do terrible things. Now, this is Esav. You see, Esav is Tzayid Bepiv. He has hunting in his mouth. Meaning what? His main role is he's going to be the prosecutor against Yaakov. He's the one who's going to find a way to prosecute and destroy Yaakov in any way that he can. You know, and therefore you clearly see, for example, Hitler and the Germans, who are descendants of Esav. What was the first tool they used against the Jews? Propaganda. Propaganda was to use the mouth. Use the mouth to destroy the Jewish people. Well before they did the program, they couldn't wake up one day and decide to kill Jews. It wouldn't work. The Germans were too sophisticated for that to happen. So first started a smear campaign. You know why all us nice, sophisticated Germans now have to be in bread lines? It's because of the Jews. They say that for a few years. Prosecute against the Jews, and then people will believe it. They will really believe that. They will believe that the Jew is less than a human being. You know, I was, a few weeks ago, I saw this movie, I previewed this movie. God willing, we'll show it next winter. I forgot the title, something in pajamas. The Boy in the Striped Pajamas. It's a great movie, how it shows you how sophisticated Germans could descend to this level of really feeling that Jews are subhuman. But it all has to start with the prosecution. It first has to start before any physical destruction of a Jew happens, there has to be verbal assault. That's the first step. And that's the way it works with anybody. You want to get rid of a rabbi, you have to verbally assault him first. And that's the power of the mouth. And people, unfortunately, believe a lot of Lashon Hara. How can you believe the Jews are the cause of all the problems in the world? It's the exact opposite. They're the source of all the blessing in the world. Every country in the world only benefited from the Jews. But you keep saying, keep prosecuting. So that was Esav's role. So now, V'doyeg al yidei shehoye gibor b'toira. Now Doeg was a warrior in Torah. He was a great scholar. He was one of the greatest scholars who lived, as the rabbis tell us in the Gemara Sanhedrin. However, what do we know about Torah? We could say Torah v'samtam es devarayela. You should place my words of the Torah upon your heart. V'samtam, the Gemara says, is also a contraction of two words, samtam, meaning it's a wholesome medicine. Torah is a wholesome medicine for the person. But for those who learn it with the right hand, as it were, if you're learning it for the sake of heaven, but the Torah can be a poison for those who learn it for not the proper reasons. And therefore, Doeg, v'hoya masmi'il, he was, you know, learned it left-handed, meaning to say without the right reasons. Nasalo hakoach, so that power that he had, shahoya lo bapeh, that he had a powerful mouth that was developed greatly through his learning of Torah. So it became l'sam ha-moves, it became a poison. Lios medaber lashon hara al David HaMelech, to speak lashon hara on David HaMelech, shushorish kedush sapeh, shepiktush demalchus, peh Torah, shebal peh. We see that David HaMelech, Melech, being a king, whatever, you know, Malchus is the final, the 10th sphera, and every sphera correlates to a body part, every single one, chesed to the right hand, kvur to the left hand, etc., etc. Last one is Malchus. What part of the body is Malchus? That is the peh, is the mouth. Because that is the king. King gives orders. Comes from the mouth. The mouth directs everything. So David HaMelech, on the one hand, who is Malchus, so he David purified his mouth. Had the holiest mouth imaginable. Whatever came out of his mouth. You ever hear Lashon Hara coming out of David's mouth? Did you hear anything bad out of David's mouth? I don't know. You hear 150 chapters of Tehillim coming out of David's mouth. Right? And he was the one who was also a big scholar himself. Don't think David HaMelech was not a big Torah scholar. And he was very big in Torah again, we call it Torah Shebal Peh, the oral law, the Torah of the mouth. It's interesting, that's what you call an oral law. Shebal Peh. If you really think about it, look at the word Baal Peh, we just say oral, look at what the words really mean. Baal means a master of Peh, the mouth. Literally, oral law, translated in pure Hebrew, means the master of the mouth. Now think about that. A person who learns Torah properly becomes a master of his mouth. He controls the mouth the way it's supposed to be. That's the way Torah should be learned, by a person who masters his mouth. And therefore, just like the mouth says beautiful holy words of Torah, and can daven, and can say nice words, and can say tilim, has to be really careful to say nice things about other people and not to speak Lashon Hara. So we're beginning to see great opposing forces coming over here. You have David HaMelech, who's purity of the mouth. We've already seen this before by Reb Tzadok against Goliath. Goliath used his mouth, but Goliath was a goy. Goliath was like the head goy of the Plishtim, who used his mouth to curse out the Jews for 40 days. So who's the one that could destroy Goliath? Only one who purified his mouth was David HaMelech. So, but now you see, even internally within the Jewish people, so you figure David got rid of one guy, but now he's got it. Now the real struggles, you see, in other words, until now there's been a lot of struggles with the external, the non-Jewish world. We have to deal with them. They're giving trouble to the Jews. We got to get rid of them. And you're going to see now that it's not a lot of talk about wars with the Philistines anymore. It now is an internal, almost could have been civil war. If you really think about the way this is shaping up, this could have been a humongous civil war going on between David and Shaul, between Yehuda and Binyamin, between Rachel and Leah, which eventually does happen years down the path. This had to be one day that the tribes would split. They could have split right now. You had a classic opportunity for a classic split right now. And David, you know, but David was too holy for that to happen. You can see a lot of internal things going on over here. So you see, as David, who, to the extreme that he is sanctifying his mouth, so there always has to be, there's a spiritual equation that always exists in Judaism. Right? You had Moshe and Aaron, so that are unbelievably holy. So who did you have the entire time with them, against them? Dothan and Aviram. There had to be a Dothan Aviram. There had to be somebody every day telling the Jews, you think Moshe is such a great leader? He's not such a great leader. Even after he split the Yom Suf and brought them on, every day, till he got swallowed up, every day, Dothan Aviram would go around the camp and saying Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu. He meant it for the good. He really meant it for the good, although he was a terrible person. But he meant it for the good. Right? But there cannot be, if there was only a Moshe and Aaron, and there'd be nobody on the other side, we'd all have to be from. There'd be no free will. How could there be any free will choice? So Hashem, B'dat, Maral says this, Dafka, why Hashem did miracles for Dothan Aviram. They didn't want to leave Egypt when everybody left. You know that? They did not want to leave Egypt. And then when they saw what happened to Egypt, they said, hey, we better catch up. So they come to the Yam Suf. How are we going to cross the Yam Suf? Hashem split the Yam Suf for them. How could Hashem split the Yam Suf for these two rotten creeps? The answer is because they have a purpose. Their purpose is to be the opposing force against Moshe and Aaron. And Hashem gives them a certain degree of hatzlach, of success, because they have no success. I'm going to see they're unsuccessful people. That's why it is in every shul, in every congregation, in every shul, Jewish organization, you'll have great people, and you'll have people that'll be to the opposite, as strong and powerful to bring it down, to bring the ugly down, to cause free will choice. And there isn't one community you don't see this. That's why the Zohar says, when you have one community that gets along, the Mashiach will come. But that has to be, because otherwise everybody will listen. Everyone listen to the prophet. You have great prophets. Great. Eliyahu HaNavi. No, pretty good, eh? Pretty good, yeah. You had the Nevi Abal, the false prophets. People will listen to them. Moshe Rabbeinu, not of a Nevi. Korach. Right. Okay, yeah, we'll have to see, you know, so what happens after not of a Nevi go down? So, you know, what happens with... Dothan Aviram. Doesn't matter, you know, what happens after Dothan Aviram go down, what become the counterpoints to Moshe and Aaron? Not for now. But you see, this happens all the time. So now with David HaMelech, you're bringing now, David is bringing Malchus to Klal Yisrael. This is a very critical, transitional stage for the Jewish people now. So there's gotta be somebody equal and opposite force against David within the Jewish people to create, you know, to make problems, that David should not be so accepted amongst the Jews. And David had a lot of problems leading the Jewish people. So therefore, who's going to be one of the prominent characters against that? That's Doeg. Because that you have to have someone very similar to the great leader, but, you know, from the opposite side, as it were. And that's what he's saying. By David HaMelech, for example, he is called Vehu Admoni. David HaMelech was also called an Admoni. He was called Red. Right? David had a very fiery personality. No question about it. He had a lot of emotion. Very emotional person. But it says in Yafei Einayim, but it said he had pretty eyes. He had nice eyes. And what did we already learn from that? Chazal say, in other words, he was a fiery guy. He could kill. He was something that was part of his personality, but the Herig Rak Midas Sanhedrin, he only would kill with the permission of the Sanhedrin. Only the Sanhedrin gave him permission to go to war, would he go to war. Otherwise, you know, I can't go to war. even though his personality would be, let's go, beat him up, kill these goyim. No, first you have to ask the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin says, no, you don't do it. Al piat Torah, as it says, the Torah says, al piat Torah sheyirucha, only way the Torah teaches him. So David was able to synthesize his passion that he had, plus the Torah knowledge that he had, and he was a great scholar in his own right. And he could have said, I can paskin shilas. I can decide. But he never did. He always would ask the Sanhedrin. Without the Sanhedrin's person, he wouldn't do it. So he was great in Torah. He was great in Yerushalayim. He was, but also great on that emotional end, which Shaul was not good in at all. Shaul was the man of restraint. You know, the descendant of Rachel, Yosef. Yosef's the man of control, not passion, not emotion. He's a thinker. So Shaul didn't have that passion. But David had the passion, so he had everything. So David's called an Admoni. He has that red, fiery personality, which would create fiery prayers to Hashem. Fiery to him. Emotion from the depths of his heart to come close to Hashem. Aval Doeg, so the counterpoint, Doeg, Nikra Admoni, he's Edomi. He's called an Edomi. Missing that Nun, which is interesting. Anyway, Misitra to Edom, because he's from the other side of Edom, who Esav, which is Esav. Ki gam hu kocha b'fiv. Because Esav also has power in his mouth. Dal karchach, because how do we know that Esav had? Because we know, dal ken yatsumenu Rabbi Akiva, Rav Meir, Rosh Yitur Shebal Peh, because descendants of Edom were Rabbi Akiva and Rav Meir, who were the primary givers of the Torah Shebal Peh. In other words, Esav's power was in his mouth. So therefore, Esav was called Edom. It was called Edom. And now Doeg Adomi, because he had all the personality of Esav. He was like Esav. So just like Yaakov had to deal with an Esav, David has to deal with a Doeg. And that's exactly what's being paralleled over here. Now, look what happens. Ella, so that was Esav's great talent. Rather, he took his portion of death from the mouth. And because of the power he had in his mouth, he could make an impact, a mark. He could prosecute in the heavenly spheres. Esav would know how to prosecute against the Jews up in Shemayim. We'd evoke the Midas Hadin, as the rabbis say. Midas Hadin, Shema Kadregas. There is an attribute of prosecution that goes against the Jews. And Esav could bring up bad things about the Jews. Would say bad things about the Jews to Hashem. Now, Reb Tzadok says an amazing thing. He says, Ki yesh pamim Esav kitrik mitzad Midas Hadin de kedusha. There is an aspect of prosecution that comes from the realm of holiness. In other words, is prosecution against the Jews an inherent evil or an inherent good? The answer is, like everything in the world, everything inherently was meant to be good. Everything in this world is meant to, every midah is meant to be good. The question is, if you put too much of it in one direction, it could be really bad. So prosecution has a place within Avodas Hashem. There's a place. There's a place from the side of holiness. Why? There is a concept of punishment in the Torah. We're learning this in the Rambam every day. What happens to the Jew desecrates the Shabbos and there's witnesses and he says, I don't care. There is a formula that says this person is put to death. There is a court that prosecutes. There is a concept of prosecution. It's part of Judaism. If it's in Judaism, it's got to be holy. So there were times where they would kill someone, give them a capital punishment. They lash someone. There's a side of kedusha to that, because if someone goes against the will of Hashem, that itself is a terrible thing. We can't allow such a thing to remain. Someone is going against Hashem, and if there's going to be no aspect of holy prosecution, what's going to happen to the Jewish people? So therefore, Hashem has created a concept of holy prosecution, where you're prosecuting, why? For God's honor. And therefore, if there's once in a while, you have an unusual case where a Jew goes against Hashem, the Jewish people have to realize such a person has to be prosecuted. Why? Because it's Hashem's honor. No different. If you'd walk into a room and you saw someone slap your spouse in the face, you'd sit there and applaud. You'd have to take some action. If you didn't, you'd show you didn't care for your spouse. Okay, now the prosecution has to be done in a civil way. It sort of has to guide you how you do it. You don't run like an angry mob and kill the guy. The prosecution's on a way that we bring the guy to do tshuva before he dies, so he gets to Olam Haba. There's a menschlich way of prosecuting. That's the holy prosecution, not what you see the Muslims do on television. Right? 1 second. So that's what, just want to finish this idea. So therefore there's this aspect. So for Choshav Yitzchok, he wrote Hashem Yisbarach, Shia Nefesh, Bepoyle Kapchik, said Yitzchok made a mistake and thought Hashem's will is there should be a human being in this world who will be the prosecutor, God's district attorney. That God needs to have a human being who's the district attorney, whose whole role in life is to look for the faults of the Jewish people. He thought logic, that would make sense. You have to have a Jewish district attorney against every Jew to look for every single fault that's there. And if there's God forbid, doesn't want such a thing. He doesn't want people looking for the bad. If the bad comes to us, okay, we have to deal with it. But we're not looking for it. It's not this, you know, the Salem witch hunting. It just came to me when I was out in the country. One of the main streets we drove on was Salem. So I'm thinking to myself, you know, so I'm thinking, so why is it called Salem? Did you ever think why it's called Salem?
Hebrew root
to it. Has to be Hebrew root to it. What's the Hebrew root for? That's what my wife thought also. Sulam, a better one. Selem. Salem across.
Oh.
Salem across. So Salem. It's a mamish. Salem. Sounds the same. The cross. That was all of this. Anyway, you think about it. But anyway, to have prosecuted, there should be within Jewish people the district attorney's office for the Jews. To go, and their job is to find and root out and to look and to always look for the bad of the Jews. And Chas Hashem never wants that. He says that's not the Ratzon Hashem. But that's what Yitzchak thought. So Hashem, when Hashem showed him that Yaakov usurped Esav from the bracha, that's when Hashem taught Yitzchak, you see, it's not what I want. I don't want Esav to be blessed to be a prosecutor. Now Yitzchak did understand. He did understand the only solution to assimilation is prosecution. And whenever the Jews assimilate, what does God do? He makes the host country go and want to kill the Jews. That's good if you're a non-Jew. But not if you're a Jew. A Jew should never say anything bad against Jews.
You just said with Dustin and Avira.
So Hashem wasn't happy with Dustin and Avira, but he will allow that people who want to free willingly fill the role of the prosecutor will have the opportunity to do that. Hashem doesn't want us. Hashem doesn't want it. But at the same time, to keep the free will choice, there's got to be some bad people, and Hashem will give them hatzlacha, but he doesn't like what they're doing. And Hashem says in the Torah, you shouldn't listen to them, and then people have a free will choice. There's always got to be a free will choice over here. Right? But Hashem doesn't really like it. But rather, so now with this free will choice, he took a bad thing for himself. Esav took on a bad thing. That's the hunting in his mouth. Sharab, Bepiv, Shapiv, Paul, Bekitruk of Lamala, Rashas Kaviv. And Esav saw he could prosecute against the Jews and it would have a power above. Hashem has to listen to prosecution. You have to listen to prosecution. If Esav points out things that's bad the Jews do, Hashem can't ignore it. So Yitzchak thought this was a godly type of prosecution that Esav had. He thought it was something wonderful to it. Yitzchak thought that Esav would only prosecute against the Jews of things that Hashem wanted him to prosecute the Jews against. That's what he thought. When he said, okay, so that's it, it goes on. But it really was wrong. So now what is Reb Tzadok saying? So he's saying is Doeg is this very same person. Doeg is the ace of personality here, who is going against and using the power of mouth to prosecute against people. So this is the personality we have going now throughout the rest of this book of Sefer Shmuel. And you understand, if that's Shaul's good advisor, you can see that Shaul is in a really tough predicament. Okay, Mirtz Hashem, we will continue tomorrow.